There's been a wave. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there, ever since the election, there has been a wave. It seems like I'm going to a funeral every other week right now. And even one of my mentors that helped us in the early days, named Gary Gilmore, was a little skinny preacher that I thought he was trying to push me over. I had never been slain in the spirit. I had been a Christian for a while, but I had never been slain in the spirit. You know, it was like, well, God, I'm a candidate, but I'm just, you know, I'm not going to do nothing, pretend. One time I was in a prayer line at his church, and in those days, that was before my apple became a pear. I was way younger and pretty good shape, and Sue and I were in a prayer line. Here comes this little skinny preacher coming down the line, you know, and I had my eyes closed. I wasn't looking. I was kind of, you know, and I felt him trying to push me over. I could feel his hand right here on my forehead just pushing, and I'm going, does this little skinny preacher think he's going to push me over? So I bucked up. And the hand pushed harder. And I pushed harder. You know, who do you think you are? About that time I heard, open your eyes. And I opened my eyes, and his hand was about a foot away from my forehead. Yes, Lord. Bam. First time ever I was slain in the spirit. Well, now, he passed away very unexpectedly since the election. In fact, just a few days after the election, flying back to South Africa, which is a long flight. Got off the plane, went to their apartment. They'd been living there for a while. Had a good ministry there. Lay down to take a nap. Never woke up. Just really, really unusual. Yes, sir. Okay. Hang on. See, I used to always have control of things, and I don't have any more, and I'm okay with that. And then, just recently, we lost Fred Oshner, the one that Dave called Alaska. You know, he's like 70 gazillion feet tall, you know. And right after that, Marinelle's mother, Marilyn, went home to be with the Lord. Right after that, Jack Stone went home to be with the Lord. Right after that, Ruthie, who lives in Ireland, her sister, Julie, wasn't feeling well, went to the hospital. They diagnosed her, did everything and sent her home, and she died within an hour. And yesterday, Braden Clymer. Next Saturday, this coming Saturday at 1 o'clock, we're going to have a memorial service for our son-in-law, Kyle. Kyle's mother and sister are here. If you would raise your hand so they'd know who you are. These are two of the finest people you'll ever know. Of course, they flew in, and we actually think Kyle's body was already gone by the time they arrived. But his spirit knew somehow that they were coming. And his spirit kept that body going long enough for them to get there. I think they got roughly 3 o'clock in the afternoon and got to at least be with him. And then he went to be with Jesus about 6. Now, I've got to tell you some. I'm not going to tell you even. But Kyle, from a young man, wanted to give his life to Jesus. He moved here at roughly 20 years old for the purpose of going to Rhema. Left family and friends, everything that he knew in Washington. Well, why'd you do that, young man, 20 years old? I want to give my life to Jesus. Yeah, an effect on so many people in a good way, and for Jesus. He used to do a Bible study, and I love, see, this is Oklahoma. I just love this, these words put together. Every Thursday, 6:15, gun store Bible study. Really? They close at 6:15. And I heard some of the testimonies. They were saying there was this one fellow in particular that used to be a pastor for years and somehow got out of the ministry, really turned against God, was never going back to God, didn't want to read a Bible. But see, Kyle, through the gun store business, even that guy came to the gun store Bible study. Come on. That's so good. That is so good. Hallelujah. Because I want you to understand that it wasn't anything, you know, rumors. He got sick. He got pneumonia. And Kyle has had pneumonia before. And at age 39, you just think you're going to get better. You know. And I was be the same at age 39. But it kept getting worse. And so, you know, Aaron and others would say, well, maybe you ought to go to the doctor. And you know how 39-year-olds are. It's not, well, you know, okay, maybe tomorrow. If I'm not better, maybe tomorrow. Well, what he didn't know was sometimes you can get an infection along with that. And he did. It was sepsis. He didn't know he had sepsis. And long story short, is the way I understand it, by the time he got there, by the time they actually got him to the hospital, the doctors were just basically, it was just too late. And now, they did 21 that I know of, 21 procedures. Can't blame the hospital, come on. They did 21 different procedures, is what I was told, trying to save his life. And he went home to be with Jesus. What a difference a week makes. Last Sunday, I never would have dreamed our world would be so different on this Sunday. And I do want to thank, we got people praying. We had people praying from Australia to Brazil to Canada, Africa, Germany. So many people praying, and thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our heart. And please don't stop. This is a hard week. Pray for the family. Cole and Lily, they're 13 and 17 now. And I got to be honest, they've handled it better than I would have at that age. And it's not easy for anybody. And continue to pray for the family. We all thank you so much. I'm going slow on purpose. Now, Tim offered to have someone substitute for me today and tonight. And I said, thank you. But no thank you. The ox needs to be in the harness right now. The best thing for me is to pull for Jesus. Why do you think there's been such a wave of deaths? See, the target, no matter what happens, dear God, we love Kyle. If you didn't love Kyle, you need to get saved. I mean, he's just one of the most decent human beings I've ever known. Great smile. Anyway. Help me, Lord. I want to say what you said. See, whether it's Kyle or any one of these other deaths, you got to understand it's tragedy, tragic. But the way the Lord started showing it to me was this. This is a time that we're going through. The target is not really Kyle. it's not really any of the ones I mentioned, although it is in a way, but ultimately it's not. I got to tell you, the real target is revival. It is. The real target is revival. And I can tell that from the gut punch that we have. My natural reaction is, I don't want to pray anymore. My natural reaction, I don't really want to be here. I don't want to have lunch with you today, please. So I'm thinking, oh, so if the effect of the punch is stop, then what was the punch about? See, Kyle is happy. I have to keep focusing on that. I have to keep focusing on that. Braden is happy. In fact, the Lord told Brad, the Lord said, Braden's here with me. He'll come back if you really want him to. But he doesn't want to come back. Brad said, okay, he can stay. I don't know if you know this, Brad raised him from the dead once before. Yeah. So, getting back to the situation. Well, so the way the Lord started this off with me, he just told me one thing out of the book of Job. Now, those of you that know me know that I don't teach out of the book of Job. And Gary, why don't you teach out of the book of Job? Because the Lord told me not to. Now, that was a long time ago when he told me that, but I've never got a release still. But today, there's a few things, just a very few things. I'm not about to go line upon line through Job. But there are a few things that he told me that's important. Because, boy, if somebody walked through darkness, it was Job. Isn't that right? So, it starts off in Job 1:8. Says, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, means he won't do evil. Boy, what a high opinion God had of Job. I'd like for him to say that about me. An upright man. Perfect, meaning mature. Fears God. Won't do evil. And the way the Lord started this off, I keep thinking I've said and I haven't said yet, because he reminded me. How he got me into the book of Job was this. He said, all of Job's children died, but they were never the target. And at first I used to think, well, Job was the target, until I matured a little bit more and I found out every book of the Bible is about Jesus. You hear me? Every book of the Bible is about Jesus and about the redemption and about the rebirth and about salvation. So it's not even Job really that's the target. It's the ministry of Christ through Job. Job was a judge. Job did many things for the Lord through his love of God, the love of God that was in him. And he didn't have the born again experience like we have. But in the covenant he walked in, he did really good. Okay. So the Lord said to Satan, have you thought about my servant Job? I think the Lord was, I don't know if the Lord can brag. I don't know if that's possible. But boy, he thought highly of Job. And look at what Satan said. Well, and I just paraphrased this, but Job loves you because you protect him. He said, you've built a hedge around him. You protect him and you bless him. But if he suffers loss, He will curse you to your face. And Job lived through a darkness, a dark time, like few people have. I read it again today, chapter 1. In a single day, the report started coming to Job. This business venture is gone. Your wealth in the cattle and other animals is gone. Your servants, now your employees today, is gone. And then the last one. Anyone? I got to be obedient just a minute. The last one came in and he said, the report came to Job. It says, all of your children were gathered together in a single house. And a great wind came. And the house collapsed. And all of your children are dead. All of them. When Job heard this, Job 1 verse 20. Now look at his reaction. There is mourning because of M-O-U-R. Not mourning like day, but mourning, grief. But there's something else that Job did that God's asking us to do now. Well, then Job arose, rent his mantle, his clothes, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He worshiped God. And his own wife, and then his own body was attacked, as you know, with boils and horrible things. It said he was, in a modern English, he was a sight to behold, something despised because of how everything that was happening to him. And his own wife said, thank God I have a wife different than this one and that one. Why don't you just curse God and die? And he says, you're talking like a foolish woman. Now see, Job didn't have the privilege like we have of reading the book of Job. He could not see behind the veil and see that it was Satan doing all his destruction to him. He did not know that. So you know the famous quote that Job said, and in fact, I'll just read it rather than try to. He thought the Lord was doing all this to him. And by the way, if you read, again, I'm not teaching out of Job. I mean, not really, not like, no, what I mean is line by line. And I'll tell you why. There's so many things in the book of Job I don't understand. So if he ever lets me, I'll teach it. But he was started this off with me in prayer, so I know I can minister these few things. But see, he didn't know. He didn't know that it was the enemy that was doing all this destruction. See, I kept hearing during this whole ordeal, because the enemy wants you to start blaming God. The enemy wants you to start doubting God. The enemy wants you to believe you can't trust God. That's how I know this is of the devil, because everything about it is trying to stop us. See? And Job, we have a lot more revelation than Job had. What I mean is the books, the Bible, born again, Holy Ghost. But Job didn't know. As far as he knew, God did it. And that's why he says it the way he does in Job 1:21. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. But see, his attitude, that's really what he believed. The Lord took all my children. That's not true, but that's what he believed. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Now he's worshiping. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, in the next verse I love. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He wasn't about to blame God. Job's love for God was the target of the attack. I want to say that again. Job's love for God was the target of the attack. I'm going to say it a little differently. Because of that love that was there, it was also to stop the ministry of God through Job. Because Job judged righteously. He was doing the work of God on earth. So what is the target of this attack now? What is all this that seems like I'm attending funerals more often than I am church right now? What's the purpose? What's going on? What is the target? It is revival. It is revival. He's attacking the love of God that's in you because it's through that love. Faith works by love. And he's trying to separate us from the love of God. Now, I don't mean that God would quit loving us. He can't. He's trying to separate us from us loving him, hearing him, obeying him, and serving him. That's the target. And it hasn't changed. In Romans 8, you don't have to turn to any of these today. It's not really a Bible study. But in Romans 8, 35 through 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay! No! In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I would you please stand for me just for a moment. Please stand with me just for a moment. Let's make a declaration before heaven right now. I don't care what the devil does. I don't care what darkness there is. I don't care what is launched against me. Nothing will separate me from my love for God. I love you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. My life is yours, Lord. Use me as you will. I am bought with a price. And I will serve no other but Jesus Christ, my Lord. Hallelujah. You can be seated. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you. I told Sue, I said, I don't know why I have this urge to wear this shirt today. The one that's a little blue shirt. Now I'm going to tell my age a little. And as I was putting it on this morning, I was having flashbacks to, oh yeah, I preached the gospel in this shirt in Europe. Then I saw another one. I preached the gospel in this shirt in Africa. Walmart. How did Dave say it? Ye old Walmart. I've preached in this shirt in South Korea 6 years in a row. And during this time of change and devastation, really, and darkness, I believe it's the comfort, just a little something for help me remember. He has been faithful. He is faithful now. And he's going to be faithful to us for all eternity. Here's some other few little things from the book of Job. You don't have to turn to these, but you might want to later. This one. See, what's the attack? The attack is the love the faith, the trust. What's the purpose? I heard so clear this morning, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Then I heard how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Don't forget who your enemy is. For God was with him and God is with you. Then I heard from 1 John, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, I don't understand everything. Oh, the other thing I was going to say, I've read Job so many times, so I've assimilated it like any other book. One thing I have noticed, now God talks directly to Job at the end. But God never explains to Job that it was the devil. Isn't that interesting? I just never noticed it till, I don't know, one of those times. He never did explain what was it. He said, now, Job, let me tell you what's really going on behind the scenes here. There is an enemy of yours and so forth and so on. Job didn't even have that, and God never did explain it to Job. Job did not have the privilege of being able to read the book of Job. He didn't know. So put yourself in Job's shoes for a moment. You don't even know the devil is doing this. You think it's God. With that understanding, in Job 13:15, Job says, I mean, it's pretty bad. He's lost all of his businesses. He's lost all of his children. He's lost his health. His wife has turned against him and said, you ought to just curse God and die. His friends with, quote, air quote marks, friends have come and told him all the reasons why he should be punished. Why? And they thought it was God too. In that light, because this is Job 13, this is not at the beginning, this is well into it. And Job says this. Now, Job said a lot of stupid stuff too, I'll just tell you straight up. He did. He said, you know, y'all ever been frustrated? How many of you know God's mercies are new every morning? The Lord is long suffering with us, merciful and kind. And boy, we need to thank God for that, because Job did say a lot of stuff. And his friends said worse, quote, friends. And, well, really, they were trying to help. I don't think any of them had evil intentions, you know. Job 13:15, where Job thinks it's God doing it to him. You've already lost your businesses. You've lost all your children. Your wife has turned against you. And your own body, your own health. He would sit in ashes, it says. Scrape the boils. And here's what Job says. God, give us faith like this. Job says, even there, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job 19:25. Job, he understood the gospel a lot better than a lot of preachers today. Because he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And he even knew this part. He says, long after my body's been eaten by the worms, I will see my Lord in my flesh. He had the understanding of the glorified body. My goodness. So there's the first one. Yet though he slay me, I will trust him. To me, that's faith, which works by love, which produces trust in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of the trial. And he had revelation knowledge again about his Redeemer. But there, right at the end of the book, after all of the debates by the friends and Job defending himself and Elihu come and put in his 2 cents worth. And then God starts talking. Thank God, God still talks. And he didn't have kind words for Job's, quote, friends. And not too much for Elihu either, I think. But anyway, there's a discussion going on there, which is not my subject today, but God is basically appearing to Job, because Job seems like, Job was defending himself. Let me just say it like that. God shows up, says, "Now, Job, did you create the horse or did I create the horse?" "Well, you did that, Lord." "Job, do you have these vaults in heaven where I keep the hail and the snow?" "No." On and on, God has this discussion. And Job says this, and this is Job 42, verses 5 and 6. After God has his discussion long with Job, Job says, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And I wrote right there, humility. And remember what the Lord told me in the beginning of this season. He said it through another man, but it was directly to me from the throne of God. It's so personal to me. "Gary, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself until you can't humble yourself anymore. And then humble yourself some more." Now today I feel a little bit like Job. That verse, we are perplexed. We are perplexed on every side. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I don't understand. It's causing a humility in me that I have to have. I don't understand. "Oh, Kyle cannot be here. I don't understand. Part of me still hasn't accepted it. And I've done my best to be strong when I'm around the family, because they need Papa to be strong. My morning has been early in the morning. I let my emotions, because grieving is important. But I am humbled more. Because, again, the effects of the gut shot, you can tell what the target is by the thoughts that come to you. Why, when you get punched, I hear some of my thoughts. And it goes wrong. I abhor myself now. I repent. But here's some of my thoughts during this time. It's only been a few days. Your prayer sure didn't work this time. All the prayers of all these people didn't seem to work this time. If you follow that, if you latch onto that thought, where are you going to go? You're going to quit praying. Tells me what the target is. All right, let's talk about intimacy, fellowship. Because I'm telling you, it came out of the blue. The Lord gave me no warning. I don't think gave Sue any real warning like this. She's had Kyle on her heart. She's Sue. She has a lot of people on her heart, you know. But he didn't tell either one of us, I don't think he told them, that this was coming. So the enemy, what's the thought? See, I can tell by the thought what the target is. Oh, sure. You have intimacy with God. He didn't tell you. He didn't prepare you ahead of time. If you latch onto that thought and follow it, what's going to happen? No more worship. No more times of prayer. No more intimacy. Well, when I can tell what the target is, then I know what action I need to take. And whatever the devil's trying to get me to stop, I'm going to press in harder than ever before. If you think you're going to touch my family, and there will not be repercussions for the kingdom of God and destruction for the kingdom of darkness, you have another thing coming. I intend to press in harder, worship harder, fast more, devour the word even more, be in his presence more. Be in his presence, because what's coming is a presence revival. Don't forget that. Because I can tell what the enemy's trying to accomplish. And I just got, pardon me while I just torment the devil. Devil, it's too late. It's too late, devil. You can't stop the revival. The gavel has already come down in heaven. The angels have already been released to their assignments. Revival is now, amen. Devil. Revival is now. But it has brought another layer of humility that obviously the Lord has many things to do that I don't understand. I don't understand the election. I don't understand. I believe when I don't see it, he's working. When I don't feel it, he's working. And he never stops working. He never stops. He never stops. He is our way maker. He is our miracle worker. He is the light that shines in our darkness. Now, I said the Lord didn't prepare me, but he did in a way. He gave me a little help. A friend that I hadn't really seen or talked to much in the last 10 years or so contacted me. And they used to come to the conferences. I can still see their faces. Of course, I see them from 10 or 15 years ago. The Lord was preparing me some ahead of time, because she wrote a poem and sent it to me. And boy, if there was ever something I needed. I mean, the Lord knew I needed it before I knew I needed it. You know, Sue and I, we're trying to be the grandparents who answers before our grandchildren call. When Lily was growing up, we'd see she needed a new bicycle. We'd already had the bicycle bought and in the garage before she even knew she needed one. Sue would have the next shoes maybe for the next several years. You know, different sizes going up, find a sale. Well, God is God who answers before we even call, because we don't know. This poem's a little long, but it's so appropriate, so perfect, and we'll add this as a PDF. And the title of this is When You Dance in the Darkness. So let me read it to you. When you dance in the darkness, when you lift your hands in praise, when your mouth pours forth my goodness, even when the sun is under a shade. When you dance in the darkness, dancing beyond your fears, dancing in the darkness, dancing through your tears. Heaven is watching, watching in the light. Dancing in the darkness until your faith becomes sight. By dancing in the darkness, you release the highest praise. Your Father hushes heaven to hear the sweetest praise. By dancing in the darkness, an aroma is released. Its incense before the throne will never ever cease. When you dance in the darkness, although you feel you dance alone, angels dance beside you, knowing I'll soon call you home. They cluster all around you when you offer me this praise. When you dance in the darkness, you have heaven's gaze. The Lord knew we were going to need this. And I've been doing my best. Now, if you want to see something ugly, watch Gary dance. I dance before you, Lord, in my spirit. I dance. So why are you so cast down? Dance! Dance in the darkness. Dance in the darkness. Rejoice, give Him praise and glory and honor. Even when I don't see it, He is working. Even when I don't feel it, He is working. He never stops. He never stops. And I'm not going to either. We only have one reference to Job in all of the New Testament. Sue knows what I'm going to say. And it's this one, if you want to, you can turn and look at it or just listen. But it's James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Now, I got to, even before I say this, remember, Kyle is happy today. Kyle is ecstatic today. Got to understand, on his side, it's glorious. It's us on this side that are hurting. But listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say about Job. This is the only commentary in the New Covenant that we have about Job. So it's James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. It says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience." And the best, really, that word today would be endurance. Endurance. "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience, endurance of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Well, how did it turn out? It says, consider the end of Job. So I went to the end of Job. And it's Job 42 in verse 10. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." If I remember correctly, Job lived more than 100 years after this period of darkness. So I was studying this out one time because it lists in the beginning how many cattle Job had, how many of this he had, how many of that he had. And it tells us, I believe it was 7 sons and 3 daughters, if I remember correctly. And then at the end, it right here where it says he blessed him with twice, it lists again. And it's twice everything, twice the number of cattle, twice the number of this, twice the number of that. But when it gets to the children, it's not twice. It's 7. It's 10 children again. Same number of children again. And I said, "Lord, I don't understand. It says here you blessed him with twice. You blessed him with twice the cattle, twice this, twice that. Lord, you didn't give him twice the children. I don't understand. Why is that?" And the Lord told me real clear. Well, he didn't lose his children. I've got them here with me. I did give him twice because he still got the first 10. They're just waiting on him here. Kyle's waiting on us there. His message would be, like everybody that goes there, where you have crystal clarity, absolute truth, no hindrances from the flesh or the reasonings. His message would be, live for Jesus harder than you ever have. Let your light shine brighter than it's ever shined before. Give it all you've got for Jesus. See, Joseph endured a long period of darkness. Actually, Bible scholars say Job's darkness really only lasted about 9 months. Which is, when you're in it, seems like eternity, I'm sure. But Joseph's period of darkness lasted 22 years. Because you know the story of Joseph. He didn't do anything wrong, really. He had a vision, two of them, dreams from God. Now, he might have done, the only wrong thing he might have done was telling that dream to his brethren. Because you know what happened. They sold him into slavery. And no matter where the devil put Joseph, God was still with him. Potiphar's house, God blessed everything that he did. They put him in the prison. He became a trustee. He became a prisoner in charge of other prisoners. Why? Because he loved God, honored God. God honored him. But see, in the end of it, when Joseph is speaking to his brethren, they finally know who he is. And of course, they feared. They're the ones that sold him into slavery. And they find out now he is second only to Pharaoh himself. When Joseph's chariot would go anywhere through the villages, there were soldiers that were in ahead and commanding the people, bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee. Joseph is coming. When the brethren finally know, his brothers and sisters and his parents are there. Well, on the brothers, they're in fear, of course. But there's no revenge in Joseph. So Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, talking to the brothers, Joseph talking to the brothers, as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it for good. To bring to pass as it is this day. Now remember, every book of the Bible is about Jesus. God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now there it was physically saving, physical people. But for us, that one day, that phrase just jumped off at the page at me. To save many people alive. All caps. Revival. What's the purpose? Yes, getting people healed is good. Opening blind eyes is good. All of that is good. But what is revival really about? To save many people alive. God is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all could come unto repentance. That's what this is about. Every book of the Bible is about Jesus. Every book of the Bible is about salvation and deliverance. That is the target. Whenever the enemy attacks us in any way for evil, know it is the devil doing that. Know it is the devil doing that. And as we mature, I still believe we're going to be able to stop many of those kind of things. But we must not allow this gut punch to stop us, slow us down, diminish us, discourage us. I will dance in the darkness. Heaven's going to hear my praise. See my clumsy dance. I'm going to dance in the darkness. And we will have revival. Revival is now. Revival is now. Father, we love you. No matter what evil the devil intends against us, you will turn it for good. Lord, you've given us discernment to understand the real target and what the enemy is trying to get us to do, to back off, get discouraged, just quit. Give up on revival. So when we know what the target is, Lord, now we know what to do. We're going to pray more, Lord. Fast more. Worship more. Be in your word even more. Because it's actually Satan who's afraid. He's afraid. He's found a group of people, not just here at the church, but if you're joined with us around the world. Why does he try so hard to separate us from the love of God? Because faith works by love. And the more we come to the fullness, let that love come to fullness on the inside of us, the more dangerous we are to the kingdom of darkness. So whatever he throws at us intending evil, our God's going to turn into good. Hallelujah. In my opinion, Kyle is a casualty of war. A fallen soldier. He's like one of those that stormed the beaches on D-Day. And you watch them, many, many innocent young men, about 19, 20 years old, many 18. Many of them, you just see them. They get shot before they even make it to the sand. Thank God the rest of the army didn't see that and retreat or surrender. Kyle, we will not retreat. I know he can't really hear me, but Lord, if you can, you can talk to him. Tell Kyle, we will not surrender. We will not bow. We will not retreat. We will not quit. And Father, you will have your revival. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was some words that came through this morning that I can't wait to get my hands on, because it was like God was just speaking directly to me. But I know if that's the case, he's speaking to you also. Boy, there was a strong word, so be sure you hear that. Get a copy of it. If you're not on the mailing list from the prayer center to get the prophecies, please get on it. It's going to be, you just need them. The warfare that's coming. Yes, sir. Okay, I have to do it because everyone near the end of last year, over and over, everybody, and me too, we were all saying, boy, I'll be glad when the year 2020 is over. And I was saying it too. I'll be glad when the year 2020 is over. And then one day, you know how the Lord will say something through you before you can catch it? And just, it came out of my mouth, and I'm hearing it for the first time too. I'll be glad when the year 2020 is over. And then I said, well, that's because you don't know what's coming in 2021. See, in the natural, if I could roll the clock back a week, my flesh wants to live there where we have our Kyle. But my spirit wants to go forward where we will have the revival. And it's hard. I'm telling you, it's hard. The emotions. And there is a grieving process that's healthy. Now, you got to be careful you don't get over into demonic grief, because he'll kill you with that. But my flesh would rather go back. My spirit says no. I'm telling you right now, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And Kyle's already got it made. I have to remember that. I started to surrender and to the Lord in case he wanted to say something right now. But what I heard him was, no, I already said it through Hans. So get that word when it's made available. Hear that message. It was awesome. We are going to have Calling in the Lost tonight. Gary, do you want to? Depends on which Gary you're talking to. I'm a human like anybody else. My emotions, I could cry a river. But the ox needs to be in the harness. I've been pulling for Jesus a long time. And I will pull for Him still. We're about to see the greatest revival that human eyes have ever seen. We know that from the prophecies. He said, we are going to see things that no human has ever seen. Well, humans have seen the Red Sea part and walk across on dry ground. Humans have seen the pillar of fire by night and cloud by day. Humans have seen the manna come every morning. Humans have seen the Jordan backed up all the way back to the city of Adam and they could cross over. Humans have seen the dead raised, the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the maimed to be made whole. But he says, we're going to see things that no human has ever seen. Dear Lord Jesus. This is no time to quit. This is no time to slow down. This is no time to surrender. He's been training us for years to be warriors for His kingdom. Let us be warriors now.